verse 9, speaking of the Old Testament, the dwelling place of God, the tabernacle, verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make individual service perfect as pertaining to their conscience. A figure, that's the word for parable. Earthly model, earthly sort of the heavenly meat. So the Old Testament gives you a very big parable of our Lord Jesus who is replacement. We've talked about that. We're also, and progress through this inner sanctuary here, the first room, and we go to verse 2 now. For there was a tabernacle made the first, that's the holy place I'm standing in. The first, it says, wherein was a candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. So we know out here, sacrifice for sin, offering, and so on. But then the priest, it says in Ezekiel 44:16, we learn, they shall enter into my sanctuary, once and for all. And they shall draw near to my table, that they may minister unto me. Ministry, not just to the people now, but to the heart of God. Going inside this gold chamber, this gold room. They would need light. We've talked about the lampstand somewhat, the one source of light. Bring the written word of God with the 66 books, and the living word. God in the flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one source of light we function by. Having said that, though, it was an oil-burning lamp. It would have to be maintained. Oil burns up, wicks be trimmed, and so we're going to see some of the high priestly ministry and priestly ministry tonight inside here called the service of God, called ministering to me under the high priest here. So we're going to look at that here, which will help us understand the present-day ministry of the Lord Jesus and glory. How many did yesterday on the cross? But the present, when he's occupied today, the present-day ministry of the Lord Jesus. So let's go to the parable first, the historical record, to chapter 24 of Leviticus, please. Leviticus chapter 24. Now this time, Brother Levi here, if you can put that lampstand up here, that would be appreciated. You don't know how to pair a fan blow up here tonight.
And the gospel and this and that, and there's places for that. Don't misunderstand.
that he didn't waste anything. He lived with and still gave myself for 20 years in the family. And he started to notice when I would leave the office to do something real quick, I left my light on. He'd come in and switch it off. And I'd say, you know, I gotta turn it back on, Dad, you don't mind. And he says, like, you're wasting, well, you can't waste. I said, you don't pay the bills, principal. He said, you don't waste. So every time I leave, he'd turn it off. We'd go away, we'd come back in the evening from the meeting, it'd be dark, house is dark. Whole house is dark, and he says, "Oh, wait, we can't have these lights on here." And Mary Beth, our youngest daughter, she used to come home to a dark house, and she affectionately called Grandpa the Prince of Dark. But and my wife, now she, her husband Eric, paid the bills now, she's doing the same thing. But my wife thought she had it figured out. She got one of those timers and turns them on at 9 o'clock at night, and for a few days, he couldn't figure it out. And then his street wiseness took over, he just pulled the plug and we came home to a dark house. So to him it was a weight. Now sometimes in the things of God, we look at things in the assembly and say it's not saving anybody, it's not helping the widow, it's not helping the hurting, it's a weight. Remember when the Lord Jesus had suppered at Simon's house in Bethany, 1840, died and buried, and a woman came with an alabaster box of precious ointment. Poured it on his head, and he said it was in honor of his burial, in memory of his burial, honoring while he was living for the glory he deserved in his burial. But the disciples, they were indignant, passionately, they said, in Matthew 26, 8, to what purpose was this waste? A waste. But the Lord considered you've done a good work. Heard about good works? The good work of pouring something costly on the Lord Jesus. So, you know, you have the poor always, you can help them. You don't have the old. So there's some things, brothers and sisters, in the house of God, when you come together, it is not a waste. It is before the Lord continually revealing it. Now, having said that, having looked a little bit at the high priestly ministry, he ordered the lamps. He would have to trim the wicks, in some cases get the soot, get the dirt off. In other cases, he'd have to pour in the oil. And so to keep them burning, he'd pour in the oil, and of course he'd have to trim the wicks and ordering the lamps. Now, that is a picture of the present day ministry of the Lord Jesus. You know, we were singing this morning how Christ is the light of the world. But that's in John 8 book. When you get to John 9, 5, he says, as long as I am in the world, the light is in the world. He's the light of the world as long as he was in it. He died. I've ascended into heaven after he rose again. He's not in the world. So is there light in the world? And the answer is here, yes. I'd like to show you the light that's now in the world, since he physically is not here. Go with me now to the New Testament, to the revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation. Chapter 1, written to seven churches now, not Israel, but seven churches. And I'm going to take you to verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. It's natural when you hear a voice. I've heard voices here. And someone was in Brother Amos. I turned. Who's talking? So I can turn to see the voice that spake with you. And he turns that. Look at verse 12 again. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, or lampstands. He didn't see one with seven lamps, but he still saw seven light bearers, seven golden candlesticks, each one would be on its own base. Now, Brother Alex, if you would remove this, please, okay, back to the spot. And here's what he saw. I could call the other Levi up, please. This is only a poor facsimile. We can never demonstrate the glory of what he saw. will be illuminating something. He sees one like unto the Son of Man, and he goes on to describe him. If I can have those lamps. He goes on to describe him in verse 13, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle or sash or belt. There he is, clothed, he's in his royal priestly glory with a garment down to his foot. And he has this golden sash across his chest here. And he's in garments of glory. Now, he's much more glorious than this will ever be able to depict here as you go on to read here in Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters, thundering waters. It's an image of authority and fear and glory. Verse 16. And he had his right hand, that's a hand of authority, seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So in the brilliance of the sun, you have this glorified Lord Jesus. And around it, he saw seven lampstands. We're going to represent these seven lampstands just by these oil-burning lamps here. We don't have seven lampstands, but it will get the picture across. Now, he saw these seven golden lampstands, and they're actually in a circle, and they're going to be emitting light. What are they going to show up? The one in the midst. Now, we don't have to guess what those lampstands are, he tells you. But now further, in Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. Looking at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, the lampstands, which thou sawest, are the seven churches. And so, the lampstands, represented by this little burning light, are the seven churches. They're golden. They're not copper. They're not metal or nickel, lead. They're golden. It tells me the church is of value to God, most precious to God. And it has a function. And as it's clearly depicted here, if one is in the midst, they are revealing the glory of the one in the midst, the risen, glorified Christ as our high priest. And all his royal authority, as the metaphoric depiction depicts here. We don't reveal as a church the baby Jesus. You know, everybody likes babies, okay? Even still today, the baby Jesus is somewhat popular. Now, babies are cute. They don't hurt you. They don't take your pocket. The worst thing they can do is throw up. But they're cute, okay? And nobody really dislikes a baby. Or even it doesn't show the carpenter, or the miracle worker, or the compassionate Jesus. It shows him in his risen, glorified authority as Lord. That is what the church knows. We lift up in a world that does not glorify God, neither is thankful. Romans 1:21. But we lift him up to God, the Father, first of all, as an increase, and we give him the glory that he's due and his authority. We bow before him in a world that does not. And he's in the midst. What do you think that means to God? You know, picture yourself here at Camping and Cabin. And a dark night and all the stars against that black sky. You look up and you say, wow, look at those heavenly bodies of light bearers, and it just takes your breath away against the dark. Spiritually speaking, think of the other reading in reverse. God's looking down from heaven. He calls this world the power of darkness. Under Satan's deceit, under Satan's control, the world's in rebellion, his name is a swear word, his values are twisted, you know what's going on. But all of a sudden, Pennsylvania, Oregon, Japan, India, Scotland, all over the world, he sees lights shining, lampstands shining, lifting up the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think that does to God? I guess all the darkness sees his Son exalted. That way, that arranged to be involved in the local church and be lifting up the Lord Jesus in the world that doesn't. What purpose is this race? It is before the Lord continually. Now, having said that, I've been in chapter 2 for a minute. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, the fan system might be like this, so you want to do the order. But you understand right now. I'm looking at Revelation 2 and verse 1. the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now in chapter 2, it shows the Lord moving. It shows the Lord walking and so on in the midst. But it shows him walking. It just showed the position of chapter 1. But now we see he's involved in walking in the midst of these candlesticks. Just like an ancient old priest. He would walk up in a candlestick with his seven there where he left. And he would order the lamps, the seven of them. And he would trim the wick, and he would pour in the oil. You say, I want to walk where Jesus walks. Where's he walking? I'll tell you where he doesn't walk. He doesn't walk in the midst of a sports stadium. That's not to say there's no saved Christian out there. He doesn't walk in the midst of king's palaces and white houses. That's not to say there's no saved politician. But that's not where his center is, his authority. He walks in the midst of the church. You want to be involved in the great work that he's doing. Be involved in the local church. Be involved where he's at. Because what he is doing, what's he doing? They're building pyramids, fixing government. Not today. We'll do that when it comes tomorrow as far as the change of government. What he is going to do is walking in the midst of the candlesticks like an ancient priest, and he's ordering them. Sometimes he will trim the wick. He will call them to repent. Other times he'll pour in the oil and encourage them. Let me just show you briefly how to do that. You want to walk where he wants to be involved in the local church of God that's under the authority of the Lord Jesus. Look at here in Revelation chapter 2. Look what he tells the church at Ephesus in verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liar. He says, this is good what you're doing. Pointing, encouraging them on. How do we need that? But sometimes he has to trim the wick. Look here at verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first words, etc. Five times to the churches, he'll say, repent. Not to the sinner, to the saint. Repent in the way you're conducting your church, for if it's wrong, it's not going to show the full glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And it's not going to lift him up, because it's not a race to do so. And so they're called to repent and change and to conform to his word. Now, it takes the oil to cause it to shine. You don't have to guess what the oil is. He says something, the same thing with all seven churches. With all seven. Look for example, the church at Ephesus in verse 7. 7, 7. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. He doesn't say he didn't have an eye. Look around. Oh, that works over there. They did the people, and look how they do. He that hath a heart, let him feel what feels loving. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said. He is poured in the oil. A picture, as we learned last night, of the Holy Spirit of God. The energy. Brother, listen to what the Lord says through his Spirit. And if you go by what he says, you're going to be able to lift up the Lord just in a way that fills the heart of God. That fills the heart of God. That's not left to some hunch inside. I think he's saying this. For all seven churches, here's what he'll say. Not only he that hath an ear, but to hear what the Spirit would say about the churches. Look at verse 1. Verse 1. Chapter 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, W-R-I-T-E. Every church will say right. He says, what I'm giving you, write in the book. They have this written word that we learned about this morning. And the Spirit will illuminate the meaning of the written word to the believer. And it's not left up to our gut instinct. It's written down for us. And then to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So that's what he's interested in today. He's walking the churches and will reveal his glory before the Lord continually in a world that doesn't. No wonder Ephesians 3:21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. And so that's what the church aspects of our brethren were of value to him, precious value. We are illuminated and glorified Christ in all his authority, but we come before the Lord continually in various ways. So may God help you have a vision and a passion for the work of assembly. Be involved in the work, the walking word Jesus wants, our blessed Lord. And so those are some lessons from the lampstand, that he is ordering the lampstand today. He's not everywhere. The church is where his spirit are. And we shine on the risen Lord. He's concerned how we shine. So sometimes it's a repent, sometimes a pouring in oil. Listen to what the Spirit says, going this way, and so on. Now, that's the present-day ministry of our Lord Jesus. You can read those things in detail. Now, having said some things about the one source of light and the priestly ministry, the points of the present-day ministry of the Lord Jesus, it was meant to light up something so they could do the service of God. But my Levites could put it back where he was, and the lights and read us. And you can go back, please, to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. Yes, okay. Show bread and table to children once we remove the lights. I'd love more time.
Out there.
But this is important. You say, before the Lord continually. The message is clear. Some things are for the heart of God before they benefit us. It is not a way. You say, no, we're not helping people. First of all, this is God's house. You're here to give to Him. Minister to Him. Yes, there's outreach, but never forget the increase. The heart of God. Before the Lord, it's not a way. Now, because it was here continually, the bread you would think would get old. So on the seventh day, the Sabbath, they were to replace it with seven new loaves. So to be, so to speak, always fresh bread before the Lord continually. So here's what happened. On the Sabbath, the seventh day, of Aaron and his son, the priesthood, the high priest and his sons would come in here and they would draw near to this table. Let's see how successful I am in this. That's a little annoying for me. Aaron and his sons, the priesthood, they'd come near to this table and get here to verse 9. And, this is on the seventh day, it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, where it is most holy in the name of the offerings of the Lord, made by fire by perpetual statute. For 6 days, God would feed on this, whatever the memorial was. You know, in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. And it would please the heart of God. It would feed his heart for 6 days and did nothing for man. But then God shares his food. And his priest, Aaron and the sons, they were, what God delighted in, they would now delight in the same thing. They would eat it before the Lord. And when they drew near to Israel, they said, what is ministry unto God? Well, we already learned that the things before the Lord are a waste. It's only good work. You're showing fellowship with God. Eating equals fellowship. I think we understand. A certain young man is interested in a certain young woman. He wants to get to know her a little better. So he asks her out for dinner. Very nice. Because all he's interested in is filling her stomach. That's the case. He comes to McDonald's. He comes to yellow crews. They want out to eat. And there's his stuff. It's a place to talk, to get to know. It's a place of fellowship. You go out with people at dinner. Fellowship happens. Here's man enjoying not what man enjoys, enjoying what's for the Lord. Bread. What delighted God's heart now delights man, and he's fellowshipping with God. And they did it one day a week. In their case, it was a Saturday, where there was strong wine that poured out before the Lord, and there was bread, and Aaron and his sons would draw near. And one day a week, they would minister to God and enjoy what God enjoyed and show fellowship. Fellowship. Well, that's a picture. We get to the New Testament church now. And we have something that the reality of this becomes even very close to this. So go with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's show you the reality of the New Testament again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Of the body of Christ. So that
we drink the cup and we eat the bread, we are showing fellowship of the sacrifice of Christ. That the Messiah died for our sin. That his blood was not just an accident, a criminal's death. It was shed for our sin. But delighted in the heart of God, this is my beloved Son, in whom I love you. We were sharing with somebody today in Isaiah 53:10 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him and made his soul an offering for sin. God was pleased to crush his Son, not because he was against his Son, because he was redeeming a people back to himself. And then to give his Son for that cause, it pleased God. And so what delights the heart of God, we now show fellowship with. That's Christian fellowship, not just drinking coffee. But partaking the cup and the bread, or showing we agree together. We might have some things we haven't caught up on, but we agree over the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, we go on to say, verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one body, or that one bread. When we equally partake of this bread, say it was a big group, like you hear tonight, you pass the bread, the Lord's Supper, and everybody took a piece at the end, it was all gone. I don't see any bread there anymore. I said, where's the bread? Well, something to me and something to you, that brother, that sister. We have the same food in us, but we're ingredient as the body of the blood of Christ. We're showing oneness and fellowship. We're one body, we demonstrate, we're partaking of one bread. Now, having made that point, he then goes on to say in verse 18, behold, Israel after the flesh are not they which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar. He says, when they ate some of those offerings, we didn't get into them all. He says, they're agreeing with what the altar stands for. When they eat, they're showing fellowship, he says. Now, that's true. Eating, partaking equals showing solidarity, showing fellowship with. He then goes on to say, look here at verse 21. Verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils or demons. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. We provoke the Lord in jealousy. Are we stronger than demons? You can't eat something that's out of agreement with this religion, even though I won't join it. You're going to eat at their feast. He says, you're showing fellowship. You can't have fellowship at the Lord's table and the table of demons, he says, because we'll provoke the Lord to jealousy. You see, what would my wife name? If it was anniversary day and I said, honey, I'm running a little late, but, I'm going to take another lady out for dinner. I'm not going to marry her. I'll be going to take her out for dinner. Hey, that's it. You understand? I'm showing fellowship. It would provoke to jealousy, wouldn't it? That's what happens here. So there's the Lord's table, called the Lord's Supper in a specific way, when you get to chapter 11. And it involves eating and drinking, that we eat the bread and we drink the cup. We're showing fellowship with the body and blood of Christ. And you know, it's 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you can show the Lord's death till he comes. Often as you do. You know what's a tremendous liberty is? You know how often the early disciples, once the church got established, Acts 20, verse 7 says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, that's the day when our Lord was. But once they got established, the Corinthian church did the same thing. One day a week, on the first day of the week, Jesus, they would keep the Lord's Supper. They would keep the Lord's Supper. And so they would drink the cup, just like the ancient priests, Aaron and his sons, they eat the bread, and in this case, they drink the cup, showing forth his death until he comes. You know what's tremendous about this? You know who could do it back then? Aaron and his son. A select group of the Jewish people. I think most of here tonight are without being the tribe of Aaron and his son. What right do you have to go to the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, eat the bread, and drink the cup? Back then, I don't care if you were in the family of Aaron, if you were a woman, you couldn't touch this bread. If you were a woman, you could never put a foot into the sanctuary to accomplish the service of God. Only the men priesthood, Aaron and son. The New Testament hasn't legalized the woman. It's liberated the woman on the grounds of a holy, righteous God. When he writes to the church at Corinth, he writes to the church of God at Corinth, and them that are in Christ, sanctified in Christ Jesus. And he adds, all them that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. And so men and women believers of both genders can now come to the Lord's Supper, and they can eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as they do it, they show forth the Lord's death. What a liberty you have. You say, well, I think the church restrains me. It is just liberating you like it. You're allowed in. You're allowed to minister to the heart of God. For the men can have all responsibility, not except the offerings that the sisters do, coming up from their heart and adoration and thanksgiving for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have it as a desire of the Lord to have this. Remember when he called the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door, and if he will come in, he can sup with me, and I with him. Sup, dine. He wants a fellowship over the things of God, not your favorite things. And one of the places to do that is at the Lord's Supper, where both women and men believers can do it, and the liberty here is as often as you do it, you show forth the Lord's definition. The early Christians didn't know the first day of the week. We have people who legislate that now once every quarter, once every half year, whatever. Okay. But you can't call it simple. But they've just taken the liberty away. Where you can come in one day a week and you can fellowship with your Lord, with the believers, and show forth his death and carry out your priestly ministry. They've limited it. They haven't done away with it. But they've limited it. But the scripture gives that tremendous liberty. As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you will show forth the Lord's death. So, ministry unto God. Coming in here, walking in the light, having fellowship with God and with one another. On what basis? Let me close with 1 John 1:7. Or 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. They get anywhere. The priests were walking in the light, they could see where the table was. They would draw near Aaron and the sons, and they would fellowship together and fellowship with the Lord. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thinks exactly what happened there. But we can do that because we're cleansed from all sin. The whole tabernacles come together. Walking in the light. Fellowship with one another on basis. Blood is making eligible. May the Lord encourage us tonight in ministry to God. Drawing near his sanctuary with 1 Corinthians 3 will call the Church of God, which is holy place. Today we'll talk about that here. But drawing near to his table, walking into one source of light, the written word of God illuminated by the Spirit of God. Being involved where the Lord is involved in the midst of his church. This is not a waste. All the good words. We need to desire God. How's that all? No, you go out. You're going to be a holy church ministry on that first floor. But it has to start here. This is the highest form of ministry. Once he has your heart, you're going to have a reason for the night. Okay? You're going to have a reason for the night. But that's where we're going to stop tonight. We're still going to be in the holy place in the morning, but there's another piece of furniture. The golden altar, not a sacrifice, of incense. Interesting things there. And then tomorrow night, there's something else that venture on. But let's just close with prayer. Ask God's blessing on the Lord to make people understand and desire and see and be encouraged. He said, the world of the Christian will intimidate you. But this is a waste. It's not really a waste of living. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thy holy presence and the presence of grace, the throne of grace, we thank you for this one. Not only died and rose again, but he lives to us. He's walking amongst the church. He cares about the church. He purchased the church of God of his own blood. He cares about the Lord's Supper. And he cares about the Word of God, the light. He cares about our
away, if they're not following some worldly career, yes, we have to pay expenses, we understand that. But they're walking with the Lord. We just pray to work in hearts in the way that we can, to thy glory, to thy cause, to the children. Somebody need to be saved. First, they have to be cleansed by the blood of Christ before they ever come in here. So, Father, we ask you just to work now in hearts, glorify thy spirit. The enemy will not distract the thoughts and the minds and deceit. The truthful one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask.